From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Job chapter 29 and verse 2. Oh, that I were as in months past! Numbers of Christians can view the past with pleasure, but regard the present with dissatisfaction. They look back upon the days which they have passed in communing with the Lord as being the sweetest and the best they have ever known. But as to the present, it is clad in a sable garb of gloom and dreariness. Once they lived near to Jesus, but now they feel that they have wandered from Him, and they say, Oh, that I were as in months past! They complain that they have lost their evidences, or that they have not present peace of mind, or that they have no enjoyment in the means of grace, or that conscience is not so tender, or that they have not so much zeal for God's glory. The causes of this mournful state of things are manifold. It may arise through a comparative neglect of prayer. For a neglected closet is the beginning of all spiritual decline. Or it may be the result of idolatry. The heart has been occupied with something else, more than with God. The affections have been set on the things of earth, instead of the things of heaven. A jealous God will not be content with a divided heart. He must be loved first and best. He will withdraw the sunshine of His presence from a cold, wandering heart. Or the cause may be found in self-confidence and self-righteousness. Pride is busy in the heart, and self is exalted instead of lying low at the foot of the cross. Christian, if you are not now as you were in months past, do not rest satisfied with wishing for a return of former happiness, but go at once to seek your Master and tell Him your sad state. Ask His grace and strength to help you walk more closely with Him. Humble yourself before Him, and He will lift you up, and give you yet again to enjoy the light of His countenance. Do not sit down to sigh and lament. While the beloved physician lives, there is hope, nay, there is a certainty of recovery for the worst cases.
There is a
Thank you.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in the book of Romans, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Separation and Service. In verse 2 of chapter 12, Paul wrote, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this day, when many churches are becoming more like the world in order to be what they call relevant, the command of the Bible is for believers to be nonconformists. Paul speaks of believers being transformed in their minds. A true understanding and acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings about a radical change in the way a person thinks. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, believers must be careful not to slip back into the world's thinking as they live their Christian lives. Now here is the next portion of this message, The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Separation and Service.
You're called to be a nonconformist. Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5. He says, Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know something? That's a program I would like to sign on to. That's the kind of program I want this church to sign on to. That's the kind of program I want every young Christian in this meeting to commit himself to. Warring warring not according to the flesh, but after the power of the Spirit of God, using the weapons that are mighty through God. And what is the result? Casting down imaginations, casting down the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ, assaulting and assailing the battlements of hell, getting into the battle for the souls of men and women, and seeing mighty, mighty things done by the power of God. And I tell you again and again and again, the Bible and the history of the Church of Christ demonstrates it. When that happens, it is always, always, always through a spiritual nonconformist. One who is walking out of step with the world. If Martin Luther had walked in step with the world, there'd never have been a Reformation. If John Calvin had walked in step with the world, Geneva would have remained the most immoral city in Europe, and there'd never have been a mighty move of God. If John Knox had walked with the world, Scotland would never have been saved, and if Scotland had never been saved, whether you like to think it or not, America today would be a heathen hole. That's the influence of John Knox. If a man walks with the world, he serves the devil. I don't care if he uses religious language or calls himself a pastor or a theologian or whatever. He serves the devil. You're called to be a nonconformist. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You're told, love not the world. That's not just the movies or internet porn or X-rated films or filthy magazines. Oh, those are all things to avoid. But you can avoid all those things and be as worldly as the devil could make you. What is this world? The Greek term is actually this age. It's used in the New Testament regarding this present evil world in distinction from the world to come. Thus our text really is saying, don't allow your thoughts and purposes to be governed by what is merely immediate, what is temporal, what is transient, or what really has little or no reference or regard to the glory of God. You say you're saved. What's your life all about? You living just for the moment? For the immediate? I wish I'm not going to try this, because my memory would not be good enough. Years and years and years ago, long before I ever came to America, I heard an old Bob Jones University record. Some of you older BJ people would remember it. And actually, if you can get me a copy of it, I'd be glad to get it again. Sometime, if I had it, I think I would play it here on a Sunday evening. Of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. telling the story of a brilliant and beautiful young student at the university. And she sacrificed the eternal on the altar of the immediate. How many of you are doing the same thing? Sacrificing the eternal on the altar of the immediate. There's an immediate desire, an immediate lust, an immediate urge, an immediate this or immediate. You're locked into the purely temporal, the things of this age, and you have no reference to eternity or to the glory and the honor of God. You're told, be not conformed to this world. The word conformed is an interesting word. It emphasizes the passing nature of the world. The heart of the word is the word that gives us the English word scheme. And I don't think you'd be going far wrong when you're told, don't make schemes with the world. Don't make schemes with the world. The man who's going to go on with God is going to make sure that though he has to live in this world and work in this world and serve in this world, yet he is not getting entrammeled with the affairs of this world. This is a convicting word for every one of us. You see, if we believe the gospel, we have something better to live for than this age and what concerns this age. If we believe the gospel, then we recognize we're in the world, but we're not of it. Listen to what Paul said as he wrote to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, he said, "We are they that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." To use versus abuse is to use legitimately versus using excessively or using wrongly. There is a sense in which you can look at the world and say, this is God's creation. We are here to enjoy this world. In fact, really, nobody but a Christian can enjoy the world as he ought. You go out of the night, look up into the sky. The greatest astronomers in the world, they see heavenly bodies. They turn telescopes upon them. They may have all the technical knowledge that the world can give them, and they're describing this great display in the heavens. The truth is, they can never get to the starting line. When you turn to the 8th Psalm, God says, we're considering His heavens. And that makes all the difference. They're the work of His hands. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's that sense in which the people of God may enjoy what God has given. That's a whole different idea from buying in to the philosophy, the mindset, or to use the buzzword of today, the culture. One of the most used and least understood words in the English language, the culture of today. What I'm saying to you is that if you're going to be one of those who believes the gospel and you live in response to it, then you've got to be able to say no to the pressure to live only for this life and for this moment. How do you do that? It's all right for me to say you've got to be a nonconformist. How do you do that? I mean, you've all been down this road before. You're not living separated lives. You want to be separated unto God? Do you want to give your life to the Lord? Do you want to live a life that's telling for God? Do you want to be out of step with the world? Yes, 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 yes. I want to tell you, if you're saved, your answer to that is yes. And with very little fear of being wrong, I will say, if your answer to that is not yes in the depths of your heart, or there may be a struggle because of a conscience that's condemning the way you've been living, but if the depths of your heart says, no, I don't want to live according to the gospel, I don't want to honor God, I don't want to live out of step with the world, man, woman, young person, face it, if you think you're a Christian, you're kidding yourself. Because the fundamental truth of a Christian is his heart condemns him when he's walking apart from the Lord. At the very heart of his being, even if he's badly backslidden, there is a knowledge, oh, that God is true and I ought to be walking with Him. So if you're saved, you're saying, yes, I do want to do this. You've all been there before. Now this would be a good time to close the Bible and have the appeal and say, all who want to do that, put your hand up. I have nothing against putting your hand up. If it meant anything. trouble is, you'd go out the same way you came in. And tomorrow you'd be as defeated as you are today. How do you do it? Paul, thankfully, didn't close the Bible. He gave us the answer. By being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that we walk in a new life. We have been introduced to a new relationship with God. We enjoy a new standing. Now put it all together. We have a new standing. We have a new acceptance. We have a new realm. We have a new life. Now, says Paul, let your mind, let your thinking, let your purposing catch up with the reality of your standing in Christ. That's another way of saying, listen, you've got to start thinking the gospel. That's how you do it. By thinking the gospel. By having your mind transformed. That's a very strong word. Deliberately so. And it's a strong word for many reasons, but I think fundamentally because every Christian, and I dealt with this when we were going through Romans 7, I think it was true even of the great apostle Paul himself, every Christian has the inherent weakness of his flesh to lapse back into the thinking of the flesh. There are times when a Christian tries to live by law. He tries to get sanctified by law-keeping. He tries to get rid of his guilt by working it off. You all know that. There's times you've got yourself into a place where you feel guilty, and you think, well, if I can pray more, God will certainly deal well with me then. If I can read, I've got behind my Bible reading. I'm 300 chapters behind the Robert Murray McSheehan scheme of Bible reading. So I'm going to read 20 chapters a day. Of course you're not. No, you're not. But you tell yourself that. And of course, you know what I'm saying is true. You haven't done a thing yet. But because you've said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other thing, you already feel a whole lot better. It's as if you've conquered every enemy that ever faced you. You've done everything right. Of course, you haven't got off the chair yet. Haven't done a thing. But you are trying to work off your guilt, or at least think off your guilt. No, it doesn't work. You need your mind transformed. That verb actually appears in only two other places in the New Testament. Significantly, one, Israel's actually two other events, and one event and one text. The event is the transfiguration of Christ. He was transformed. What a beautiful picture that we have in that. You see what happened to the body of Christ? He was on earth, but it glowed with the glory of heaven. What does it mean to have the mind transformed? It is to know the light of heaven amidst the darkness of earth. It is to know the glory of heaven amidst the gloom and the wickedness of earth. That mind that can be so given over to Phariseeism or filthiness or folly can be transformed so that it glows with the beauty of Christ and the glory of heaven.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.